Good morning. On this last Sunday before the Feast of the Ascension, we always read from chapter 17 of John, that great prayer with which Jesus sums up his farewell address to the disciples. And it's very different in form. All of that was addressed to them, you in the plural. This is addressed to God, you, Father, in the singular. But the themes are pretty much the same. As we heard last week, Jesus telling the disciples about dwelling in them and they in him. This is exactly what he's praying about. That all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that they may be brought to perfection as one. All of this is prayed very intensely by Jesus. In John, this is his last prayer on earth. And aside from a few words of dialogue back and forth during the Passion, his last statements on earth. He prays that he may dwell in us and we in him, and that together we may dwell in God. Well, there's an awful lot of wonderful theology that can be worked out of that. I encourage you to read some of the Eastern Fathers who do it particularly. There's an awful lot of mysticism that can be taken out of this. The mystics from whatever century seem to gravitate to these chapters like bees to a flower. But this morning, with our first communicants, I want to take it down to a very simple level about indwelling. And I don't think it's inappropriate for the rest of you to listen in. When you love somebody, you want to be close to them. You hug your mom. You curl up in your dad's lap. You even hug your brothers and sisters when things are going really well, even though sometimes they're a pain. You want to sit with your friends in school, at least at lunchtime if you can't do it in the classroom. There's absolutely no way to separate a boy or a girl your age from their dog or their cat or their gerbil or whatever without a crowbar. We want to be together with people that we love. Animals, kids, even grown-ups. But there's a certain amount of limitation on that, isn't there? Do your parents let your dog or your cat sleep with you at night? Probably not. Now, of course, when everybody's asleep, if the puppy sneaks into the room and curls up on your bed without you knowing anything about it, there's nothing anybody can do. But by and large, that's not allowed. You want to share with each other. And you'll do that at school. I'll give you half of your sandwich if you'll give me half of my, I'll give you half of my sandwich if you'll give me half of yours. We share with our friends. But there's limits on that too. I think your parents would probably take you to the doctors if they caught you down on the floor drinking out of the dog's water bowl. It's limitations even for Jesus. Jesus wants to be one with us. Wants to be one with us bad enough to become a human being. Jesus was up there with God. Jesus was God's Son. Jesus was in the form of God, as the Apostle Paul says. He didn't have to come down here. But he did. Because he wanted to be one with us. But even there, There were limitations. He could only be in one century, in one little part of the world. A few thousand people could see him, listen to him preach, watch him heal. A few hundred people, maybe. Occasionally a few thousand at a time, but that was rare, could actually eat with him. And when he was feeding 5,000 people, he obviously couldn't be face-to-face and talking to them all. Was it like having lunch with your friends where you can sit there and chat? Because 5,000 people, you know, that's a whole lot more kids than you've got in your school. Can you imagine trying to talk to all of them at lunch? Doesn't happen. So there's really limitations on how close Jesus can get to us. And yet Jesus wants to be one with us, so that in him we can be one with God. How's he going to do that? How's he going to overcome the limitations that human nature, that simply, you know, the laws of nature impose on how many places you can be at once? Well, he's born and he lives and then he dies on the cross for us. And then God raises him up. Now, when God raises Jesus, this is not like what the doctor does in the hospital that you see on the TV shows, where somebody's already dead and the doctor works on him and brings him back to life. When that happens, people go on living. When God raised Jesus, he didn't go on living. He went to live with God. Now, although he's still a human being, he still has a body, a soul, a heart, a mind. He's freed from the limitations of ordinary existence. And he can be in every century, in every city, with every person. How does he do that? Two ways. Here's the first. The Word of God. Jesus and the Holy Spirit inspire people to write down who God is and who Jesus is and who we are. And when we listen to that, it's like nothing else. We are hearing not your word or my word. It's not a good story that your mom or dad tells you at bedtime. It's God's Word. God is in the Word. And we can hear the power of God in the Word. But he goes even farther than that. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus can be present in us, really, in his body. So the night before he dies, to explain it to them, he tells them what to do. Takes the bread, the unleavened bread, the Seder, the great Passover meal. And he says, "This is my body, which will be given up for you." And he takes the cup that he sung the blessing over, the cup that everybody shares, and says, "This is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant." Jesus is now there, in the bread, in the wine. And we can take Jesus into us. When Jesus says he will dwell in us, he's not kidding. Because the bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus, we can receive Jesus into ourselves. Now normally, when we eat food, we transform the food, right? I mean, you can feel it. You can watch pictures of it on television or in science class and learn how we digest things. But you can feel it yourself, you know. You get home from school and you're tired and you're hungry. And you don't have a whole lot of energy. You feel like just sort of dragging yourself into the house. But you got a bright idea. And you say to your mother, "Mom, can I have some milk and cookies?" And you get a snack. And 5 minutes later, you're full of energy again, ready to go out and play. The food transforms. You transform the food into yourself. But when it's Jesus' body and Jesus' blood that we receive, that food transforms us. It makes us one with Jesus. Jesus becomes one with us when we receive it. And as we talk to Him and listen to Him in our hearts, we become one with Him. And when we become one with Him, we become one with the Holy Spirit. The love with which you loved me, that's the Holy Spirit, may be in them, and I in them, that's Jesus. And God is in Jesus, so when God Jesus is in us, we in turn are in God. So what Jesus prayed for with all his heart here in John's Gospel, the night before he died, we do every Sunday. In fact, every day if you can come. But it takes a little understanding. I mean, it still looks like ordinary bread. Still tastes like ordinary bread. Still tastes like wine. If you drink enough of it, you'll get a little tipsy like ordinary wine. But it's not anymore. It's the body and blood of Jesus. And that's why we don't let little kids receive it. Because they don't understand. They would confuse the body and blood of Jesus with ordinary bread and wine. But now that you're grown up enough to understand the difference, now that working with your parents and your teachers, you can recognize Jesus in the bread and in the wine. Now that you can know that this is the body and blood of Christ that comes into you so that Jesus may be in you and you may be in Jesus. Now that you understand what it really is, we're pleased and happy to invite you to join with us in receiving it for the first time this morning. And every time you receive it, for the whole rest of your life, remember what this is. This is the body and blood of Jesus. When you receive communion, Jesus is in you, and you are in Jesus. Remember that. And remind all the grown-ups, because sometimes they forget too. But remind everybody, most of all, remind yourself, this is Jesus. Jesus is in me, and I am in Jesus. And in Jesus, I am in God. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.